Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
The Food and Drug Administration, you know them, you love them, they have told us that fragments of the bird flu virus have been detected in some samples of pasteurized milk here in the United States. Now, the agency maintains the milk is safe to drink. Don't worry about it. I mean, sure, we're still waiting on results from the studies to confirm this, but we're fine, okay? Don't even worry about it. Remember when they said, the odds of it transferring to a human is really, really low, and then that happened? Yeah. Don't worry about it, though. I'm sure it'll be fine. The fragments of the virus were found while testing samples of the pasteurized milk. The testing method, called PCR testing, looks for bits of genetic material. A positive result doesn't mean that live infectious virus has been found. We're pretty sure that based on available information, the pasteurization is likely to inactivate the virus. But it's probably not going to remove all the viral particles. So we've seen nothing that would let us think that the commercial milk supply is safe. Or, no, is not safe, right? We have seen nothing that would change our assessment. Oh, yeah, that the commercial milk supply is safe. They're telling you that it's safe. So don't worry about it. We'll get the final results in a few days, and we'll find out exactly how safe pasteurized milk actually is. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Man, we missed the European Championship goal-screeching event in Belgium. And man, am I disappointed about it. But fortunately, we have video and audio of the event. It's the third edition of the contest, which originated 5 years ago. So they've done it three times in the last 5 years. And they brought in seagull imitators to show off their best imitation screeches for a panel of five judges. I would love to have been a judge in the seagull screeching contest. So it aims to give humans better understanding of seagulls, birds often maligned for their opportunistic eating habits and inconvenient defecation locations. Yeah, they're sky rats. That's what they are. I know they're often maligned because they deserve it, okay? According to the website, humans should be intelligent enough to avoid conflicts. Yeah, well, you know, the seagulls will attack humans from time to time. And I guess that's just the seagulls being seagulls. Oh, boy. So anyway, for the adults, Jarmo Slutter of the Netherlands was named this year's champion by the five judges. Now, Slutter, who donned a seagull costume for his performance. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do the performance without the costume, entered the contest after his friend said, "Dude, you really sound like a seagull. You should enter." And here is his championship performance.
Jarmo uit Eindhoven heeft een wel heel bijzonder talent. Hij kan de lokroep van een meeuw perfect nadoen.
I mean, I realize they're speaking gibberish for a lot of you, but yeah, they're just congratulating Jarmo for his performance. Can we hear Jarmo again, please? I mean, when you hear an award-winning performance like that, you are excited and are going to order more beer. Now, congratulations to Jarmo. Then we also have the children's winner, a 9-year-old child. Now, there was also a child winner, a 9-year-old winner, Cooper Wallace, a.k.a. Seagull Boy, who also wore a full seagull costume when he showed off his skills at the championship gull screeching event. And he claims that he took up the art of gull screeching after being nipped by a seagull during a trip to the beach. And I just wanted to make the noise to remember I got pecked by one. But hey, I like seagulls, and I have deep respect for seagulls. My imitation is more a tribute than mockery. I feel like they are a really nice animal. Yeah, wait till you grow up. Okay, because then you'll realize, Cooper, that they're not. Okay, they're sky rats. And what you're being told is all BS, okay? I understand that we want to have better understanding of seagulls because they're often maligned, but tough, because that's what they should be, okay? They're horrible animals on this planet. You heard me, PETA. They're horrible animals on this planet. But Cooper did an award-winning performance of sounding like a seagull screech. Right? Awesome. Awesome. I mean, I think that was better than the adult. So let's hear Cooper again. I mean, you just want to shoot it out of the sky. Let's hear the adult again. What's his face? Jarmo. That's a tough call.
Jarmo.
That's a tough call. So congratulations to both Jarmo and Cooper for winning the Netherlands contest for the seagull screeching contest. And good luck next year. Now, the only thing it doesn't say is what they won. So there was the junior, which Cooper won, and there was the adult, male or female, which Jarmo won. And then they had teams. Oh, my God. I'm glad I don't have that to play for you. I bet you that was just agonizing. Flock of seagulls. Aha! Get it? And so they had winners in that category. It doesn't say. And why they wore the outfit, it also says they were judged on their screeching ability and their acting ability. So apparently you can't act as a seagull unless you have an actual seagull outfit on. But it doesn't say what they won. I guess they just, do they win like a stuffed seagull and a free drink from the bar? And they get, well, they get bragging rights that they are the champion of the gull screeching championship. So you don't really want more than that, do you? Of course not. Oh, and now we found out that not only do they get bragging rights at the seagull screeching contest, not only do they probably get a free drink and, you know, glad handing at the bar, they win $100. So, yeah. Yeah. How good and happy are you now about being the champion? That's what I thought. So let's say you live in a town that is going to have a seagull screeching contest. And you think, man, I got to move out of here. I need to move. Well, you can't just pick up and move and hope for the best. You want to be able to get the most out of your home. That's why you need Real Estate Agents I Trust. Okay. If you're trying to buy and sell a home at the same time, you're trying to get out of there and you're trying to find a new place to live. Yes, it's a major undertaking. And almost nothing about getting a house ready to put on the market is as easy, you know, you have to do it the right way. So you're going to want to negotiate a sale, then you want to buy. It's a nightmare. You're going to want the best real estate agent you can get. And the good news is you can find that agent by going to realestateagentsitrust.com. It's Glenn's company. He started a long time ago when he realized that what a nightmare it was. Selling a home and buying a home. And he went through a nightmares, plural, and decided that he probably wasn't the only one, and they started realestateagentsitrust.com. They do it full time. They care about getting it right. So if you're ready to buy or sell a home, just know that with the hands, the helping hands, oh, that's somebody else's logo, of realestateagentsitrust.com will help you. They have different kinds of helping hands at realestateagentsitrust.com. Has nothing to do with that other company. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How much sleep you getting these days? I saw a recent Gallup poll that say that 26% of Americans are managing to achieve the recommended 8 hours of sleep per night. Now, first of all, 8 hours of sleep is just a made-up thing, all right? And you're supposed to get, your body is supposed to sleep as long as your body is supposed to sleep. You can quote me on that, okay? That's the 8 hours thing is just a, that's just a, well, you know, 8 hours is good, but it doesn't. Everyone is different. That's the way it works. But we'll go with what their recommended 8 hours of sleep. Of those studied, 57% feel they need more sleep. Well, yeah, duh. A notable increase from previous years. Younger women under 50 are particularly affected in this poll. Now, they claim, I guess, culture norms emphasizing productivity and the ever-present demands of modern life contribute to this sleep deficit. And, you know, they're still blaming COVID-19. May have exasperated the situation, with many experiencing revenge bedtime procrastination. Another made-up thing. We'll call it revenge bedtime procrastination, where individuals sacrifice sleep to cope with stress. Do they? Okay. All right. If you say so, fine. But this is where I go back to, you should be, and I for sure do not get enough sleep. And they claim that you can't make up for it. So like if I take it all day, one day and sleep all day, that doesn't matter. It doesn't reverse what damage you've done by not getting enough sleep prior to that. Okay, whatever. That's why I think we should go back to, you know, before electricity. I love the plan of before electricity. They used to call it two sleeps. And I'm a fan of it. You wake up in the middle of the night and you don't know what time it is. You go to bed and, you know, you spend your day. You get up during the day. You do your job. You run your little store. You do whatever you got to do. You take a little nap in the afternoon. Come back, go back, do your thing until it gets dark. You come home, you have dinner with the family, you go to bed. And then you sleep for however long you sleep. You get up, and that's when you read, you pray, you meditate. You go out and take care of a little business in the neighborhood. Whatever you need to do. And then you go back to sleep, and you sleep until you wake up, and then you get up and start to have your productive day again. Two sleeps. I am a huge fan of that. But that was because, and then we went ahead and said, you know what we need to do is create, I don't know, something that gives us light when it's dark out, other than this candle, because I'm just sick of seeing this thing. And we created electricity, and we have lights now, and we can be up 24 hours, 7 days a week. And that killed the two sleep thing, for sure, because people were like, oh, I don't need to sleep and get up and pray and meditate and go next door and see the neighbor for a little business. I don't need that. I can just stay up. And I can drink, do some rails, and then I'll go see the neighbor. It's all good. So just listen, this is a helpful hint for me. I know. Don't, hey, I chewing the fat guy talking, I, you know, picture of health. That's me. But I'm just telling you that if you feel like you're not getting enough sleep, sleep more. I hate so much waking up with an alarm clock because it's not good for you. You should sleep and get up when you want to get up. You know, when you wake up, your body gets rest, you wake up, that's when you're up. But in today's world, in our world, you're struggling to keep up with things. So you have to use an alarm clock. I told you, I taught myself a long time ago how to get myself up without an alarm clock. Now, if you go beyond a certain point of being overtired, that doesn't work because your body's like, we don't care. We're going to sleep. So you need an alarm clock. So I use it as a fail-safe. But I hate hearing that alarm waking me up out of a sleep. I'd much rather wake up and go, oh, okay, I got to get up. I could sleep more, but I got to get up. And then turning off the alarm that's about to go off so I don't have to hear it because it just drives me insane. But if you're not getting enough sleep, listen to your body, gosh darn it, and get enough sleep so that you're a better human being going through your day. Okay? Thank you. And I know many of you are thinking, Jeff, we have to work and we have to make a living. We have to provide. So sleep is something that we're not concerned about. Well, maybe you hit the lotto and then you don't have to worry about it, right? You can wake up and you can sleep whenever you want. That would be awesome. That's a bonus of winning the lotto. So if you're listening live, today is the 24th of April, 2024. We have, they're starting to grow again, which has got me, you know, looking out of the corner of my eye. The Powerball drawing tonight, as a matter of fact, $129 million is the jackpot. $59.6 million is the cash payout. And the Mega Millions drawing is Friday. That's up to $228 million jackpot with a $103.4 million cash payout. So you win either one of those, and believe me, after the excitement wears off, you'll be able to sleep until you wake up. And when you wake up, the dream will have been true. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Be sure to follow me on my social media accounts at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can email the show anytime. That's the way email works. ChewingTheFat@TheBlaze.com. And you can also order a Cameo from me. Now, it's not free, I know, but you just go to the Cameo app at JeffyJFR. And tell me whether you want me to be, you know, happy, glad, sad, mad, mean. And I do it. Cameo's my pimp. I'm their trained monkey. It's all good. So that's the way it works. So you can make that happen. And I really do appreciate the emails to chewingthefat@theblaze.com. Thank you. So I'm reading a story about this girl who is claiming that she is an abrosexual. Now, I feel like I've heard a lot of sexuals. In fact, I know I have heard and been a part of and experienced a lot of sexuals. You can quote me on that as well. But when I read, when I saw the headline about abrosexual, I thought, what is an abrosexual? And I felt like, wow, you're an idiot. You don't know what abrosexual is. So someone who is abrosexual has a fluid sexual orientation. They experience different sexual orientations over time. So if one day I think, you know, that person is hot, and I go after it, and then the next day I think, you know, that guy is hot, then I go after that. So that makes me an abrosexual. Some people, according to this, at dictionary.com, by the way, according to this, some people experience a fluid sexual orientation. Their sexual orientation, for example, between bisexuality and homosexuality, Or for another instance, their sexuality may fluctuate between being pansexual, asexual, and demisexual. So that's what abrosexual is. A sexual orientation that's fluid. So I'm reading about this person who claims that, you know what? I didn't even realize that I was abrosexual for 30 years. It just came on me. I was like, holy cow. I think she's hot. I think he's hot. I think that's hot. I'd like to rub up against that tree for a little bit. I think everything is hot from time to time. I don't know what kind of person I am. Well, I found out I'm an abrosexual.
Oh, okay.
And she said, when you decide this, man, it's a lay. I've never heard of it, and it doesn't sound real, her friends would say. Well, maybe because it isn't, but I digress. Of course it's real. You feel that way, it's real. So she said, when I was growing up, I've never heard the term abrosexual. Yeah, because it wasn't there. You were either straight, gay, or lesbian. As far as the 90s society was concerned, anything else was made up. Anything else was made up. Man, those 90s were wacky, weren't they? Of course, we know that's far from the truth, do we? But societal blind spots mean we learn terms much slower than if they're readily accessible. So I've come to know myself as abrosexual. So now if you run into somebody that is abrosexual, you'll know that they are just sexually fluid. And at one point, you may look hot. At another point, you may not. So I guess we're back to being concerned about Britney Spears now. My girl Britt is, making people worried about her now. The social media activity has reignited all the discussions about her mental health. And if you watch some of her dances and her dancing around, I don't know why you'd be concerned. She's just busy dancing. That's all. Fans are like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have been so all free Britney. Maybe that conservatorship was a good thing. No, it wasn't. You can still be concerned for Britney and her mental health and want the best for Britney, but it's her money. It's her shows. It's her that made all the money, not dad, not mom. They were just there. And so she gets to do what she wants with her money. And them sticking their nose in and taking her money was not right. And I realized that she may have some struggles mentally, but so step in and help her out, mom and dad. Where are you at? Why aren't you helping her out other than just saying, well, we need a conservatorship so I could take the money? I mean, it's too late for that now because she's got nothing. She wants nothing to do with you, I'm sure. But just know, Britt, we're concerned for you, baby. Okay, so keep dancing without any clothes on and start your OnlyFans and make some extra money. But know that we care about you, okay? Oh, good. More AI stuff to play with. Meta, the parent company of Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp, has now released a standalone AI chatbot. Which is an open source model, Llama 3. That's a good name, huh? Llama 3, positioning itself as a major competitor to the bots from Google and ChatGPT. And it's the first time its AI assistant will be available outside of Meta's social network ecosystem. So as an independent product, which I guess, lets them become a bigger competitor to OpenAI's ChatGPT and Google's Gemini. So if you want to have, you know, if you're if you're having some fun with the other AI chatbots, now you can have even more fun with the Meta Llama 3 and have fun with their AI chatbot, because nothing is more fun than playing with that AI. You know what I'm saying? If you're looking for a way to make some money, you can just figure out a celebrity that you look alike and then just start renting yourself out as that celebrity lookalike. This one guy, this electrician from the UK, he realized, hey, you know, I kind of look like Jeff Bezos. So I'm just going to, I don't know, be him everywhere I go. And people can pay me to be Jeff Bezos. So he gets to walk around and pretend that he's Jeff Bezos, because he shaves his head and he quit being an electrician and he just is a professional lookalike now. And you have lookalike Jeff Bezos show up and you pay him to show up and be pretend Jeff Bezos. So if you're looking to make some money, all you have to do is figure out somebody you look like. And don't worry about trying to become famous yourself. Don't worry about working hard and trying to become a billionaire. No, don't do that. What you need to do is find a celebrity or a billionaire that you look like so that you too can pretend to be them. And then you'll be fine. And you'll make some money. So you'll just look like the clone of the celebrity or the rich guy. I mean, it's a plan. I don't know if it's a good one, but it is a plan. So I was reading a story. I read like several stories yesterday about gators in the news. I don't know why I went. Do you go down a rabbit hole of gators, or you don't go down a gator hole of gators? Anyway, I started reading about gator stories, and it started with this South Carolina diver who fought off this huge alligator with a screwdriver. So he's out looking for trinkets in the bottom of this river, and in the Cooper River, and I don't have to tell you, the Cooper River full of fossils, man. You can swim the Cooper River forever, and that's just, you don't know what you're going to come up with down there. And you have a screwdriver with you so that you're shaking up the bottom of the riverbed to get the fossils, right? And he's done it, you know, for the past half a dozen years or so. And he said he came up to the water and he realized, hey, that gator is coming after me. And he said the gator, you know, launched himself out of the water. Yeah, that's what they do. They go down to the bottom of the water. They use their tail as a launching pad. Well, that would mean the riverbed is the pad. But they use their tail, and it pushes them up out of the water. That's what they do. Have you never been to Gatorland, the world's renowned theme park, Gatorland? They jump out of the water to get the chickens. Anyway, he said, when I surfaced, and then he started hydroplaning on the top to get me, and he was determined to get me. I put my arm up, and he grabbed hold of it, and I don't even know how big he was because it just felt massive. I knew my first move once he grabbed me was to roll me, so I bear hugged him so I wouldn't death roll, and I wrapped my arm around his head and my legs around his neck, and now he dragged me and my scuba tank under the water while my arm was still locked inside the gator's clamped-down jaw. Now, all this, as this is happening, he grabs his screwdriver that he has for, you know, using at the bottom of the river, and he stabs him in the eye. And the gator did not like that. The gator did not like being stabbed in the eye, so he threw him off. And then he grabbed him again and tried to roll him again. And that's when I went ahead and started using my screwdriver to poke him in the eye again. And I stabbed him in the mouth, in the gums. And he shook me again pretty hard, and then I ran out of air. I thought I was going to die, but then That was it. I thought he was going to rip my arm off. And when I got to the shore, he let me go. When I got to the shore, my arm was just hanging on like a wet noodle. That's a good battle right there. Good for you to get that. Good for you, man. I mean, that's a scary moment, no doubt. Now, then I see a story from a couple of years ago in Florida. Juliana Asso fought off a deadly gator attack, and she fought off the gator attack by using a trick she learned at a Gatorland. Yes, the most impressive theme park in America. One of my favorite places in the world, Gatorland. She said that the alligator grabbed her leg, and as he was grabbing her leg, she stuck her fingers up the alligator's nose, and the alligator then had to open up his mouth to breathe, which freed her leg. And she said she learned the trick from Gatorland. So good for her, Juliana. And just those are a couple of gators in the news when I went down the gator hole yesterday. As I'm down the gator hole, I see a story that talks about hibernating bumblebee queens can survive underwater for up to a week. Well, you know, unless they get a screwdriver shoved up their nose. But that having been said, researchers discovered this, what they're calling a superpower from these bumblebee queens. And they did it, you know, it was just by accident. You know what? We were investigating the effects of pesticide residue on common eastern bumblebees. Boy, I bet you that's a lot of fun. At the laboratory in Canada. And we were studying hibernating queen bees by keeping them in soil-filled tubes in a refrigerator, which mimics their natural winter hibernation environment. One day, when she opened the refrigerator, she saw that some of the tubes were filled with water from condensation, and that four of the queens were totally submerged. We were devastated. Kind of freaked out. I was sure the queens were dead. But then she removed the queens from the water, and the queens woke up, started smoking, and were pissed that they had to be underwater for a week. No, that's not what happened at all. But they did survive, which was surprising to the researchers. So they can endure periods of inundation while under overwintering underground. They can be okay if they get underwater. Isn't that good news? And all I hear about on these damn bumblebees, we're losing them. There's bees being lost all around the world, and we need to. And which I'm, you know, fine if we are. Let's you know up our bee population. I'm all for it. I had the original plan of upping our bee population when we originally took over Afghanistan. Instead of, we should have the bees bred in the caves of Afghanistan instead of the poppy fields for heroin. Did they do that? No. Their product could be honey and not heroin, but what do I know? Nothing is what I know, because it didn't happen. However, I'm just saying, I don't know that I like the idea that bumblebee queens can survive underwater for up to a week, maybe more. We don't know. And if I'm trying to kill that son of a gun, that's a little disconcerting. You know, as I sit here pondering things here on Chewing the Fat, I wondered, how's that investigation going with Lori Lightfoot and her investigation into that chick up there in Illinois? You know, Dalton County. Wasn't that the place that they were at, Dalton County? Dalton Village is what it was. The Tiffany Henyard has been milking that place for money. She's the mayor, and she's also part of the county commissioners, and she's been defrauding that area for money. And I thought we brought in Lori Lightfoot to do this special investigation, and it's been quite a few days now, and I haven't heard anything. I'm sure I haven't seen, I haven't looked, and you and I will have to get together later and actually look into it a little bit more. But I feel like if Lori Lightfoot had done something in this investigation by now, we would have known it. But we'll see. I'll let you know Before this week is out here on Chewing the Fat, what's going on with the Lori Lightfoot investigation? I don't know what made me think of that, but it just did. Oh, you know, speaking of crime, and I don't know that this is a crime, but they're being sued with a class action lawsuit. Logan Paul and KSI founded Prime Hydration. And I mean, I have Prime in my house. No question. My one son loves stupid Prime drinks. And it's been a big business for both of them. Prime Hydration LLC sued in the Southern District of New York over misleading and deceptive practices regarding the company's 12-ounce energy drinks containing between 215 and 225 milligrams of caffeine as opposed to the advertised 200 milligrams. Those bastards. They're advertising 200 milligrams and they're putting more milligrams in there. So this one lady in Poughkeepsie, New York, filed the suit in federal court on behalf of herself and others who bought Prime products across the U.S. Vera purchased Prime's blue raspberry products several times for about $3 to $4 each. But she would have never bought the drinks if she had known the actual caffeine content. Uh-huh. Now, she only wants $5 million. Me too. Logan, KSI, you guys have made enough money. How about you flip me a few million too, please? So be on the lookout for the lawsuit against Prime. And apparently, they have way too many, what is it, PFAs as well. Yeah, they, it's misleading and deceptive practices are what they're doing. So they, I mean, it's, the forever chemicals, the PFAs and excessive caffeine. So be careful. Just know what you're getting into. So jurors in the murder case against George Kelly in Arizona, they were unable to find a unanimous decision for the verdict, and so they remained deadlocked on the charges. After more than 15 hours of deliberation, the Santa Cruz County Superior Court Judge Thomas Fink said, "Yeah, you know what? I'm declaring a mistrial." Wait, it's over. Have a nice day. And George said that he's still going to continue to fight. The trial centered around the Mexican migrant was found shot after Kelly fired warning shots into the air on his property, and they're charging him with a second-degree murder in his death and a charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for putting another man, Daniel Ramirez, in danger. Wow. So he's on trial for that, which you can, you know, come to your own conclusions whether that was a worthy trial or not. So that is a mistrial. Now, whether they're going to retry him again, I don't know. But I will say that my man, George Kelly, when he came out of the courthouse after the mistrial, I think he's been listening to Chewing the Fat because, you know, the Chewing the Fat rule obviously is just because someone puts a microphone in front of your face doesn't mean you have to speak, right? And I mean, that's an important, I appreciate you doing it because I love the sound bites, and the local newscasts are full of man on the street interviews that are agonizing, showing just how what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, dumb people are. But that's just a rule of thumb from Chewing the Fat. Someone puts a microphone in front of you, you don't have to speak. Now, the other part of that rule is that, you know, you can speak, do your point, and move on. Make your point, move on. You don't have to prove how smart you are. You don't have people get into so much trouble on these man-on-the-street interviews. You see it all the time. They put a microphone in front of their face, and they want to prove that they are smart. They can't. No one's able to say, I don't know. You ask me a question. I don't know. And maybe there are people that do that, and those just don't make the clips, which is very possible. But if someone puts a microphone in your face, and they ask you a question, you don't know the answer, I don't know, and you can move on. All right? You can move on. You don't have to say, well, I think that's the moon. And then look dumb for the rest of your life. No, you don't have to do that. I will say, though, I'm complimenting George Kelly here, as he's just had a mistrial. I mean, he's on trial for his life. And the crowd, the press are there. He's coming out of the courthouse. That's actually probably the jail, but it's a courthouse too. And he's coming out, and the press is already there, and they're already... And they've got one reporter already jumping the gun, coming up to him with the microphone. And George is like, okay, hold on.
I want to say one thing to everybody.
One thing to everybody. Get over here.
One thing. Hey, not this time.
You ready?
It is what it is, and it will be what it will be. Let me go home. Okay? Is that all right with y'all? It is what it is, and it will be what we will be. I will keep fighting forever. I won't stop.
Think about it. That's it. It will be what it will be. It is what it is. I will keep fighting. Stop. All right, now leave me alone. I'm going to get my car and go back home, all right? I'm finally out of jail. That is outstanding. Oh, did you see where my man, Ye? You may know him as Kanye West, but for those of us that know him, we call him Ye. According to a TMZ report, Ye is reportedly considering launching an adult film studio, and plans are already in motion. He's in discussions with the former husband of adult film actress Stormy Daniels to bring this project to fruition. Now, do you believe that? I don't know. The husband, Mike Maz, recognized for his work as a producer and art director in the adult entertainment industry, has been involved in various adult films. And if these reports are accurate, Ye's adult film venture could potentially be operational as soon as this summer. So something to look forward to. Yeah, yeah. This has been a Yeezy production. That is awesome. You're not gonna keep Ye down, man. You can quote me on that as well. And that might be the first movie. You're not keeping Ye down. All right, I know we got to get out of here for today. I appreciate you listening to Chewing the Fat. I saw this post, and it's just an interesting fact that I don't know if it's true or not, but it's really interesting. Like, I love playing cards. There's different card games. I grew up, I was raised playing cards. I was raised playing euchre, all kinds of different card games. Love them. Then I see this. It talks about the meaning of a deck of playing cards, okay? So 52 cards for 52 weeks in the year, 2 colors for a day and night, 4 suits for the 4 seasons, and 13 weeks per season. 12 court cards representing the 12 months. If we add each of the cards, ace plus ace plus ace plus ace plus 2, you get it, the game will get to 364. Jokers were used in leap year. So, true? I don't know. I have no idea of knowing whether it's true or not. I just find it fascinating. Does it matter if I'm playing gin? Do I care about the 52 cards for 52 weeks in a year, 2 colors for a day and night, 4 suits for the 4 seasons, and 13 weeks per season? Not really.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.